Good morning, all. Today we're in, you can see we're still at the Feast of Tabernacles. This is kind of like part two of the Tabernacles. It's pretty much the whole chapter of John 7. And start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we get to spend in your word. And Lord, I thank you so much for the insights that you give us, and that year after year, I keep digging a little bit deeper and a little deeper, and it's just awesome, Lord, to see new little fresh insights. And thank you so much for this, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. So, you see, I got the temple here. I was just thinking about it, looking at this picture. Jesus spent quite a bit of time coming here, even since he was about 12 years old. And it's quite an impressive facility. But during this time of the year, someone said that it was one of the three required feasts that all Jewish men were required to come to. And I'm sure that when they came, they brought their wives and children. And so you can imagine that this area, partially probably why that, it's fairly large, the upwards of a million people in Jerusalem at that time frame. So I can see where it'd be almost a little bit easier maybe for Jesus to not be quite as noticeable amongst all those people. But here we are continuing in John 7. We're at verse 25. We had left off. We were talking about how Jesus had decided not to go to Jerusalem with his brothers. And I'm still not sure why he did that. I think it helped his brothers not to be able to have to answer questions that they got when they got there about where he was. As Jesus, they call this the year of, my Bible call it, persecution, where they were starting to see that he was becoming a little bit of a problem. And all leading up to the crucifixion, of course. But the timing had to be perfect. And as Jesus constantly says during this time frame, it's not my time yet. We saw that all the way back in John 2 at the at Cana, you know, 3 years before, right at the beginning of his ministry. So here we are in verse 25. It's still in Jerusalem. And we're picking up here where, let me see. He just talked about when you judge to make sure you have righteous judgment. And he was talking to just some people. Trying to remember if he was in the was in the temple or not. I think we'll find out in the next couple of verses. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom thou seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? There are definitely people here that knew who he was, and that I'm sure that they were in high anticipation of where it might lead. You know, I'll bet we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. I was more or less saying that how can people even not see that this is the Messiah? You know, he's doing all the miracles. He's talking boldly. He's fulfilling a lot of the prophecies. So I can imagine there was a lot of different people that probably not different than much different than today when you get different people that say, ah, there's no God, or you know, and other people say, how can you say there's not no God? You know, now look at this, look at that, look at that. Just look at creation itself. So not much has changed in 2,000 years. Then cried Jesus in the temple, as he taught. Jesus was in the temple. You both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Here Jesus, you know, is commenting about his Father in heaven. All right, I couldn't help think about, there was a reference in my Bible about the first time that God had decided that he was going to send him. And that's, it goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15. Sounds like somebody's doing some work outside. Sorry if the noise is bothering you. Anyways, in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And I shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And here God is talking about what he's going to do to Satan. And a lot of people kind of skip over this part where it says, between thy and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Well, ladies don't have seeds. They have eggs. And the men have the seed. So it's a clear indication here that the seed they're talking about here is God's seed. In other words, God's seed is going to be placed into a woman. And i.e. Jesus. And ultimately, still a little future yet, but he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the head part is we see that in Revelation when we hear about the Antichrist and that he gets a bruise on his head and that he's a supposedly looks like it. He's marveled that he comes back to life at that period of time, which is not true. Now shall bruise his heel is based on when Jesus' crucifixion, when he was nailed to the cross, they put a nail through his feet. So sounds like this is what they were referencing there in verse 29. So verse 30. And they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Very curious verse, because in different parts of the Bible you see different references to this, that that they didn't want to take him on a feast day, and for good reason. There was plenty of people that believed he was the Messiah, and the Pharisees were probably in the back of their mind knew that there was something special about this man. I guess they've seen the clue in on who he really was. Verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these, which this man hath done? Yeah, how much more can we ask for? You know, this man sure seems to be fitting all the prophecies. And the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while, and I will, while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. We see this is foretelling, what he's saying here, of what was spoken of by Isaiah. And we look at Isaiah 55:6, we see that same thing. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abandon pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That's where he's kind of saying that you won't be able to follow. He's following prophecy here. Back to John 7:35. Then said the Jews among themselves, will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? This is also James also makes comment about this in his epistle later on. Jesus' half-brother. And James, a servant of God, and this is James 1:1. And of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So this is it does happen right after the crucifixion. go back to verse 25 here for a second. And this is almost a foretelling of what's going to happen from now until, especially in 70 AD, when most of the Jews will be scattered throughout all of Europe and Africa, and don't know all the countries that they went to, but as far as Rome, and we see, you know, even John himself, who was still alive after 70 AD, went to, well, he was on Patmos for a while, and then ended up at Ephesus up in Turkey. So, so James, later on in his ministry, was talking, was actually trying to reach with this letter of his to those who were scattered. So you can see in verse 35 there that there's almost a prediction that that was going to happen. John 7:36. What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? At least not yet. We're looking forward that real soon we're going to be able to go where he's got, where he is. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And here Jesus himself is actually going to say what that means. So we saw this a couple of chapters ago too. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But they're speaking of here when they're talking about the flowing water. And they're talking about the Holy Spirit. And so that many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? I found this a very curious verse, especially the next one. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Well, actually, yes, and that is where he came from. And that's foretold over in Micah 5:2. And I just reference here for a minute. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been full from of old, from everlasting. So that's the foretelling of Jesus coming out of Bethlehem. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. In other words, they were starting to believe too. Almost can sense this guy sinking in the back of his mind. Yeah, you sent us to do your dirty work. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? The Pharisees are thinking all these people are deceived. Have any of the rules or of the Pharisees believed on him? It's a good point. I was listening to a commentary once on from Chuck Missler, and he was making that comment that there were Pharisees that came to believe him, as we see in Nicodemus, and there were others, Joseph, and of course Paul was a Pharisee in his conversion. So Pharisees, but as he noted that Sadducees, there were, he can't find any evidence anywhere that a Sadducee ever came to Christ. And the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees was the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection of life at all. Verse 49, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them. And of course, I'm just going to reflect back on that. It was in John 3:1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And it goes on to talk about the meeting between him and John. I won't read the whole thing, but a great little story about how, and I'm truly convinced that we're going to definitely see Nicodemus in heaven. We see through his life, and later on in John, we're going to see that he helps bury Jesus. And so he stayed a disciple in kind of the shadows during this entire time frame. But back to John 7:51. This is Nicodemus talking to the Pharisees, kind of trying to convince them that, is it fair to judge this man, basically? And we just remember Jesus himself talking about to be righteous in our judgment. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? And there was a reference in my Bible that I'll talk about over in Proverbs. It talks about this. It's in Proverbs 18:13 and also in verse 15. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a folly and shame unto him. And then over in verse 15, it also says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So before you make judgments, make sure you do your investigative work. Back to John. Verse 52, and they answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Well, I guess these Pharisees weren't gaining much knowledge, because actually Capernaum is actually named after one prophet, the town of Nahum. Nahum was a prophet from the Old Testament. He came from that area. And Jonah was also from Galilee. I probably should have gotten those verses to show you, but I think I did a few lessons ago. Maybe I'll start next time. I didn't grab those verses. But that's all I really had for today. And we'll end on that note. And we'll move on into chapter 8 tomorrow. And we'll leave... I think I showed these pictures yesterday. Kind of get an idea for those that are not familiar with Jerusalem. We're talking about Judea. It's actually in Judea, the kind of beige, pinkish part of this map. And where Jesus spent a lot of his time was up in Galilee, which is up north here, near the top, or near the Sea of Galilee. That's what I was just commenting about. That's the general area where Jonah and Nahum originally were from. They were both prophets. And this is a map of Jerusalem back in that time frame. That area with the red lines around it would be the temple. And the some other, if you pop that up on a larger screen, you can see some of the places that are kind of interest. We're coming up. We're going to see what Jesus' trial is and the crucifixion, and kind of points to all the different areas around Jerusalem that you'll hear about in upcoming verses. I found this map. I really like it because it really points to all the areas. And of course, this is a model of the temple, the scale model. It's a 1/50th size. You can see a man standing on the right there near the trees. Give you an idea how big it is. It's in Jerusalem, and it's the temple area during the period of Jesus, or what they call the Second Temple period. Since most Jews don't believe that Jesus was who he was yet, they will. And this is a view of that same area today from the Mount of Olives. You can see Dome of the Rock. That's a Muslim thing you see there in the foreground. It's actually on the Temple Mount right at the moment. and those are some pictures we'll get to later. That's actually, I stuck that in there now because it's the Garden Tomb. It's where they, speaking of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they're going to be, they truly believe, and archaeologists have really proven that they believe this is the true site where Jesus was entombed for the few days he was there. I just happened to see it, so I threw it in my folder for now. So, on that note, I'll say a prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, I praise you and I thank you so much for the foresight that you've given us. I know, Lord, I'm a very curious person. And boy, these days are just really exciting and concerning, Lord. And that, we're excited to soon to be with you, but we're also concerned about our loved ones that may not know you yet. And so we pray that all those that are questioning whether you are real or not, that your Holy Spirit will be sent to them and that they will see the light and come to you. And we praise you and we thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.